Hey, everybody, welcome to the Discomfort Inn with me always. Well, not always, but supposed to be. Stas Makita.
Hey, good to be here.
Hey, when people say, with always, I've been doing that in my other podcast, but it's just sad. Like, with me always, and it's just me. I haven't had Brandon on in a while. With me always is me, which is not a, that was a dumb thing. I catch myself every time.
Yeah.
But this is not a podcast you can do by yourself. I guess it would work about maybe like not have, maybe like a Friends episode.
Yeah, if you did this podcast by yourself, somebody might call, like, try and get you committed.
Yeah. I mean, or at least give you the hug that you don't want.
Yeah.
The discomfort, and I'm so uncomfortable and awkward, I can't even talk to people, but I need people to know I'm uncomfortable. That's like, yeah, that's, which one's the attention cut, long ways or sideways? When you cut your wrist? Long ways,
side to side, across the stream is attention, down the river is for good.
Oh, like prison, down the river.
Yeah.
You're going for good. Down, you're going down the river. I wonder why it was called down the river. It was prison down the river? Or you're done. Maybe because down the river, you're done. You're going down the
river. That was like a old Bugsy Malone type of expression. Like, ah, you sold me down the river, see?
Rather than the new and improved Bugsy Malone. An old Bugsy Malone.
The new Bugsy Malone?
New Bugsy.
He's black and trans now. He's been recast.
I'll guarantee you there's at least three SoundCloud rappers named Bugsy Malone with all his Z's. And just like
yeah, probably. A lot of tattoos.
Mumblesy
Malone. Desserts
on
their face.
This week is not about SoundCloud rapping or being alone. This is probably our most, could end up being our most controversial subject yet. We've been pretty light so far. We're going to end up going into more things, but we're going to talk about religion. And that's pretty vague, and I left it vague for our Facebook people because I wanted to see what direction people went in.
Yeah.
Because when I think of religion, when someone says to me, what makes you comfortable about religion, I think about my own personal experiences because my family's religious, and I had to go to church and CCD and all those things my entire life.
Same here.
And so we're both in that same page. I think about my own personal experiences. Some people, when you say religion, they think about the bigger picture, about, like, you know, what religion is and how, is it really a cult? Is it really just a business? Is it, you know, does it matter if you're one religion, someone's something else? There's hatred. There's wars. There's all these things you can get out of it. So I was wanting to see what direction people went in. But that being said, I think everyone in the world is uncomfortable with war. I think everyone in the world is uncomfortable with hatred, or, you know, or making someone feel awful about themselves because they believe something you don't. So that's not really where I want to steer with this. That's not really uncomfortable. That's a whole different topic.
Yeah, like when I think about what makes me uncomfortable about religion, it's always like the little minutia, like in the reading book where it'll be like it says, like, pause, women beat their breasts. And it's like, oh, that's weird. That, like, just seeing the, sitting next to my grandparents and seeing that, and then, like, watching these old ladies, like, pretend to pound their old tits was super uncomfortable for me.
Well, better, at that point, they're not beating their breasts. They're beating their upper chest because their breasts are at their stomach at that point. So it's a better base. I mean, maybe they knew what they were talking about. They're really not beating their breasts.
Yeah.
They're like kind of just they're hitting their clavicle.
They're beating where their breasts should be or once were.
The artists formerly known as titties are now down in their stomach. But, I think of it more that way. Now, overall with religion, what makes me uncomfortable, I'm going to say right away, before we get into our individual stuff, I do get uncomfortable when someone who's religious or has one belief starts telling you, I don't care if they tell me about their religion. I'm okay with that because that people, that's not, 20, 30 years ago, you always said you don't talk politics, you don't talk religion.
Yep.
Well, we've abandoned that in life. In life now, that is not the thing. We lead with it. You talk about sex, religion, politics. People just yell it out loud. It's the first thing. It's on people's Facebook profile. So we've become different in a world in that whole way.
And this podcast is kind of about longing for those old days. Of
it really is. If you think about it more than anything, we're just uncomfortable that people are sharing. I think that's really what this podcast is about, by sharing our uncomfortability. So it's kind of weird that we're using.
Let's keep it superficial.
We're Alanis Morissetting the shit out of this. It's very ironic that we're using sharing to talk about how we hate sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think? But to me, what makes me uncomfortable is when some religions and other religious people shit on other religions for being, you know, like, unbelievable. Like, I don't know a ton about Scientology.
Yeah.
I don't. Because you can't know a ton. Besides the documentaries, they don't let you know a lot. I don't know a lot about the Mormon church. I have a friend, Rodney Norman. I have family members who, this is a weird thing in my family. My mom's uncle and aunt when they met, they were married before. One was Catholic. My uncle was Catholic. His my now aunt is his wife. When they met, she was Jewish. When they got together, they decided they didn't like either religion and became Mormon. And that was, so all of a sudden in our family, like, we go there for Thanksgiving, their basement was full of flour and water, and it was like, they're ready for the war and shit, you know, for the end of days, whatever the fuck it is. I don't understand a lot about that stuff, but with Scientology, I think it's funny when someone says, oh, that religion, that's cornball, that's stupid, Mormon, because, you know, it, obviously it was made up while people around here are still kind of alive and all that. Take your beliefs for what they are, but when you tell someone else their belief is stupid, when they don't have proof their belief is right, I'm uncomfortable in that conversation.
Yeah.
I like beliefs. I think that...
Either they're all dumb or none of them are dumb.
They're all dumb.
Yeah. That's what I think. But you can't be like, oh, that particular one's stupid, because there's a million examples you could... If you have a religion, there's a million examples of how yours is also dumb. So don't even start throwing stones, you know?
Right.
You're in a glass house, bro.
Stones is a part of a lot of religions. So the stone throwing is a big part.
They used to whale them at people.
Whale them. Stone whaling like nobody's business. Just throwing it. Like a bunch of Roger Clemens out there. Just
anyone who had fun, they were just, just Randy Johnsoning pitching them.
The sinners were birds and just Randy Johnson big uniting the fuck. People who don't know baseball are missing out on these gems that we're throwing in. These Nolan Ryans just knitting them right in the face. But, okay, to me, I was raised Irish Catholic, so therefore I don't believe in God. And I say that a lot, but it's like, I really do. I think at the end of the day that religion was all made up because people's minds can't handle nothing. You can't handle what the idea of nothingness is. We all know, no one thinks, you can say what you want when you're a child. Oh, deers get hit by cars, and deers go to deer heaven, and birds go to birds. No one believes that.
Okay. Yeah, no.
We all, for some reason, think we're the special thing that goes to a place or has an afterlife, or there's a God, or there's a thing caring about us, and that's our own. And the fact that people even think that their God is them and not, it couldn't be an owl or whatever. It's weird. We're all equal creatures on the earth. So if you have a belief, why is it that way? So I almost tend to go farther with the religions that have like Elephant Man Jones and all that shit, because you're gonna do it, it shouldn't be a guy or a woman or whatever. But I think people are uncomfortable with the idea of just being nothing. That when they die, they're just dead. They can't imagine it because our minds can't do it. When you think of nothingness right now, anyone listening to this, think of nothingness. But you're thinking of like pitch black in a dark room. That's no.
Yeah.
See, that's still a thing.
Yep.
That's still a thing. It's not even it's pitch black. Conscious. It's nothing. It's just
it's
nothing.
Zero.
And people's minds can't wrap around that. And if you do try to think about it, you get really fucking sad.
And
life doesn't go on. So therefore, I think people just made up things to distract their minds so they can move on. Because a long time ago when they needed religion, life was short, but we needed you to work before you fucking died. So if we give you a fucking thing to work towards, because when you work hard and you toil for your 38 years you're allowed to live back then in your wooden shoes and your stupid buckle hats, when you're working hard and doing whatever... If you worked real hard and sacrificed, your God would reward you at the end. And I think we took that and built it more. Now it became a thing where it becomes like a business. But I think that's what makes me uncomfortable is the idea of it. It's really this thing to distract you to get shit done.
See, that's the nothingness is more of a comfort to me.
Which is probably the saddest thing ever said in this podcast.
Well, when you think about it, that's heaven.
Nothing?
Nothing. You don't have to do shit ever again.
But to say that, you're saying nothingness, not doing shit. You don't even have the option to do shit again.
Exactly.
If you want to. But you don't even know that you're not doing shit.
That's peace.
But you don't, there's no peace. You don't even know it.
Exactly. Not knowing anything, not being conscious, that's
life
true
is not that
peace,
bad, my
dude.
Friend. You've lost weight. You're a sexy beast in the Connecticut comedy scene now. You want your living.
Look, I'm not saying that I want to die anytime soon, but that's more comforting than, like, I don't know, the idea.
You're happy right now. Give it a couple months. Your girlfriend breaks your heart. Nobody wants to book your comedy because there's an alleged Me Too thing, something like that. You're going to want an afterlife. You know what I mean? Right now, you're feeling good with things going on. Bad things happen. You start drinking again. You find out you got a kid that's probably Guatemalan. There's some things that can happen. Maybe not the kid. The kid would make you happy because you'd have a Guatemalan. I could see you being happy with a Guatemalan kid. But you find out a girl you slept with a long time ago was 12 and she said she was 38, but she had a weird Benjamin Button disease. Something happened there. You're not going to want the nothingness. You're going to hope like that's not the last thing.
I don't know, man. It's something so peaceful to me thinking about just ceasing at a certain point, like and not having to think anymore.
See, so what makes and I believe in what you believe. I don't think it's like peaceful. I just know it's reality.
Yeah.
In my head. So if I'm wrong, then fucking I'm wrong. Then if I die and I show up at a place like, well, you didn't believe in us and you said it on your podcast, I'm like, yeah, we get like 10 listens a week, dude. We really didn't tell anybody.
Like the thing is that like a lot of people think religion was invented to make people feel more comfortable with death. And I think I might be the one person who is an atheist because that makes them feel more comfortable with death.
No, I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people have no belief because they're comfortable knowing that when it ends, it ends. And therefore, they can not waste their time. Because we only get so much time. So what makes me uncomfortable is someone who's super religious.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching them not only make... If you're going to do your own life, listen, I believe in... Chase what after whatever you want in life. I always talk about it as go ahead, look for Bigfoot philosophy in life. If that's what you like in life, if you want to look for Bigfoot your entire life, fucking go for it. If that makes you happy, if that's your whole thing until you die, go for it. Whatever. We like comedy. People might say like you're wasting your time. You're not gonna make it. Well, it's not about making it or whatever. It's what we enjoy doing. Doesn't matter if we're making money or we're doing the thing that people say you shouldn't do and you should be having this and that. Whatever. Do the things you want in life that make life happy. Because if you only have so many days, then you die. I would never waste half my time on this earth running around telling other people what they should be believing in for when they die. That's a waste of time to me. Because you're not, it's not like God's paying you to advertise.
Yeah.
The ones God chooses, I don't want to be with them. Some old sea hag who's like, you better believe in God and not sin. Like, I don't want to be with you wherever you're going.
It's all the least fun people.
Yeah. They're not a good time. I don't want to be with you. I also don't hate to be like, I'd rather go to hell and that's fun. No, it's not. It's not.
No, that's not good either. There's better people down there, but they're all being tortured 24/7.
But and I don't think they're better people. I think they're better people on the surface.
They're better hangs. I'm sorry. They're
maybe
better
hangs. A little bit. But they're also going to be like, well, how's your cousin? Like, dude, she's still young. I'm just kidding. Like, you're not kidding. You've said it 6 times. Stop asking about my cousin. All right? Like, it's not fun. But I don't like the people. What makes me uncomfortable is when you see kids being taught that. I was raised religious, but I wasn't browbeat. Now, my family isn't psyched that I don't go to church, that I don't put church on my kids. And stuff like that, and religion on my kids, and I think that everyone should be allowed to make their own decision when they get to a certain age. If my kids want to be religious,
that's a healthy way to do it.
If my kids want to be religious, and they need that, they want beliefs, then that's great. That things that they want to believe in, but I want them to choose the one that they want, but also do research on it and learn about it.
Yeah,
but I don't want. I would never put that conversation would make me uncomfortable. Like when I was made to go to Catholics, you know, not Catholic school, but CCD and you know, all the religious classes and all that stuff, be an altar boy and all those things. I didn't like any of it. I had no interest in it at all. Yeah. But I had to.
It's weird to be
it.
Like, you got to be this religion because this is what my dirt eating immigrant grandpa was and he knows the real one. Like, no, he was a potato guy who starved and had to come over here to flee Ireland. Why would he know what anything good is?
And I hate to say this, but like, if you are religious because your ancestors were religious, your ancestors, if you're American, your ancestors were stupid.
Yeah,
they were stupid people because they got on boats before maps. I don't know what you're doing, but what are you doing? There's no map. You just got on a boat. It's got to be better. Why is it got to be better? You're fine where you are, you moron. It's like, you know, it's like, no, we're going to go to this place that no one knows, and don't worry, God will take care of us. He will not. He will not. It's a weird thing. To just
if God gave that much of a fuck about you, he probably wouldn't have dried up all them potatoes.
And yeah, what the hell? What the fuck? I mean, God doesn't care about the Irish. We all know that, but they love him the most. They love him the most. Anything that puts pressure on other people to live their life a certain way, makes me uncomfortable. It's an awkward thing to know that there are people in this world who can't do shit on Saturday night because they were told that it's not right to their God.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Uh-huh.
You can't enjoy yourself. Why? Because God. That's awkward. And then in this day and age, especially, you can't. Listen, Amish people are fucking doing shit now.
Yeah.
Even they're kind of like, all right, it's a little dumb. We should use some of the fucking technology.
The funniest thing to me is like the workarounds people find for religion, like how hardcore Jews aren't allowed to do things from Friday night
to Saturday night. My favorite porn, hardcore Jews
for sure. And but they'll like hire a dude to come turn on their TV and their microwave and cook
hire
more.
A dude. It's my hire second a
dude. Yeah, dude.
yeah, I do like that when they'll get around with it and be like, well, they can't do anything. But I thought it was supposed to be like nothing in their house was supposed to be used, but they can, somehow they
no,
can't
they're
do
not
it
allowed to do it because it's work.
Right.
Yeah, so they hire somebody to break God's law and somehow think it's a workaround.
And also, that's when hours were set and stone. Like everybody worked certain hours in that religion because daylight made that so. But now there's a lot of Hasidic Jews who are working third shifts places and weekends. It's like they can't even do the religion because the world has changed and adapted.
Yeah.
When you're making someone choose their life based off of belief, that to me is going to set up an uncomfortable human.
Remember
that's
that comic Robbie Bernstein who used to come around during the Joker's Wild Days?
Yeah, he's got a podcast now. I forget what it's called, but he's got one.
He would take the train down on Friday, walk to the venue because he wasn't allowed to drive, and on Friday night he would leave the microphone in the stand and not touch it because he wasn't allowed to use that to do comedy. And then the next night he would do it like normal because it was after Shabbos, which it was always very interesting to me.
I'm not sure if he's still doing that anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. I haven't seen him in a long time.
I haven't seen him, but I do know that he's got podcasts. I know Brandon follows his podcast because he's Rob's like a Dave Smith disciple and all the politics stuff. But yeah,
I always admired his dedication though, to be that dedicated to both religion and getting better at comedy to come up with that goofy ass workaround.
See, I admire his dedication for the comedy and his ability to have a loophole to make his parents happy.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a dedication to the religion. I think that there's religion comes with guilt. It always does because it's people doing something dumb and then they go, well, if I'm going to do something dumb, I got to trick others into doing it too and then make them feel bad. Like, that's what I mean, religion, think about it. Religion is something that AA uses to get you to take your mind off killing yourself. They're like, we need you to be addicted to something else. Here's a goofy thing. That's what they really do. If you go to those, I mean, to anyone that's quit drinking, and I did, but I didn't do it through any help, but my dad did, a lot of people in my family did, a lot of my friends did, went through AA and all that stuff, and I'm not saying anything against it. I'm like, same thing with religion. If you need that certain thing to get you through, I understand. But understand what it is. That all they're doing is saying, when my dad quit drinking, his new addictions became gardening, computers and religion. He was always religious. When we were little, my dad would take us to church on Sundays before he brought us home. But we would go, his father was religious. So we'd go to church, but we would go there like right when it started. We wouldn't get there early. We'd get the last back seat to make sure we can get out of there quick. And he was like nursing a hangover. And we'd be little kids. We'd sit there. And then, you know, like when communion would happen, this is for a Catholic church. After communion was done, usually you're supposed to go back to your seat and wait for that. But some people leave after communion. There's like a 2-minute like after party thing, whatever it is, like after part where they talk again.
Yeah.
We would scoot right after the communion. Now, when he quit drinking and he found God for real, we'd have to be at church the first one sitting there. Then we'd have to be there and wait till afterwards. All of a sudden, church got longer for us because he found God. And now it became like we used to go there and bring coloring books as kids. And now we had to sit there and pay attention. It's like now we had to care because he fucking cared.
Yeah.
Now my mom was very religious and brought us every Sunday when we were with her, but she didn't force it on us. Mm-hmm. And she would even not care. Like when they would sing songs, I would make up my own words.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy's all next to me is fat and the other one looks kind of gay. Like I would, she just go, shh, like, quieter.
It was the original Pat Oates crowd work.
Yeah, I was doing that in there all the time. And I was just always saying that. It's like, yeah. And then like, a guy would stretch and go, I think that guy farted. And like, my mom would just go, shh. My brothers and sister would laugh, whatever. It was fun.
Yeah.
And we'd have fun with it, whatever. But my dad got really super into it to the point where all of a sudden now he's like part of the men's club and running the festival here, you know, the one at the St. Mary's for years and years, and being in the choir and all that stuff. And then ended up being in the choir with my ex-stepmom, and then met his future wife, also in the choir when she was married, and weirdly enough, we don't have the proof that there was cheating, but definitely was. But, you know, that in a religious way, did his thing. But, so we found God in a lot more at the church. But what I'm saying
is... That St. Mary's Festival was great for a young fat kid, I have to say. I had so much fun eating just so much food.
From age 20 to almost 30s when he ran it.
Yeah.
So, that was probably some of your times there.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway... To me, it was a thing he did that got him through it. He did gardening nonstop, and that because it stopped him from the drinking, and he needed other addictions.
Yeah,
and like anyone else, he took it on as an addiction.
I did the same thing when I quit drinking. I just filled it with video games because it was 2016, so I could do that.
But you also could take the money that you were going to spend on booze and spend it on video games.
Yeah,
could take the money you were going to spend on booze and donate it to your church. Give your money to them. That's where the addiction kicks in.
Yeah.
Putting your money somewhere, but you think you're doing good. And you could be doing good. And I'm not even going to start this podcast. It's not going to be about me saying, and you and I aren't saying that religion isn't real. We're just saying it's not our thing.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe it's not real, but I'm not saying
but
that.
But I don't have, just the same way someone who is religious doesn't have proof that their religion is real,
yeah.
I don't have proof that it's not. I've never met anybody that was dead that talked to me.
Yeah.
I
think a lot of people who are religious need it, so I don't want to rob them of that. They're obviously, like you said, they're using it to fill something in their life. So if that's what you do,
but you know what,
do
though?
It, dude.
You know what? And I hate to say this to our few listeners that are listening. If Stash and I can rob you of anything, you don't deserve anything. Like, we shouldn't be the ones that debunk shit, right?
No.
If you can listen to us, you can laugh with us, all that. But if you're like, wait a minute, these two are right, I got to change my ways, you're lost. You're already a lost cause. You were raised. What was the religion you were raised in?
Roman Catholic.
That's what mine is. I say Irish Catholic, but it's Roman Catholic.
Yeah, I started as a little kid. I was an altar boy. When I got too old to be an altar boy, I transitioned to a speaker where I do the readings at the church.
No, just to get let's just get it out of the way because everyone's going to say it. I was also an altar boy. Any time were you ever made to feel uncomfortable in the way that everyone talks about altar boys being uncomfortable?
No, we had some great priests at my church, and it's not like they didn't have access. They took us on ski trips and stuff, not once.
Oh, really?
So never...
You traveled with adults as kids? Just priests and kids?
Yeah.
No, your parents weren't there, no other women, nothing. It was just priests, no family members.
Priests and kids. Yeah. And,
wow, I never had that ever.
Never once tried. I mean, I know that that was a huge epidemic.
I don't. Even,
but it was such a small.
But what's the point of that trip? Why are priests and kids going skiing? That does sound like a date.
Because
well, uncomfortable. If someone said to me, Seamus came to me now and said he's 13, he's 14 now, and a bigger kid. A couple years ago, he said to me, "Dad, a priest wants to take me to the mountains." I'd be like, you know what? No.
We were altar boys and also the CYO, and we did a lot to help out the
Catholic
the
youth
church.
Organization.
So
is that
that,
what CYO
yeah,
is? Okay.
So they would do things. They would do things, you know, to show their appreciation. They would take us on, like, there was a once a year ski trip and stuff like that.
You could buy a pizza.
Sure, but
they could just do that. They're not going to take you away in a sleepover camp.
It was
where'd you sleep?
Great. Oh, these were day trips. It's not
okay,
like,
that's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
like,
no, we weren't.
You said to skiing, so I figured you're like going to a lodge, having a week.
No, these were like day trips.
Who's paying for this?
The church.
See? It's a business. If I'm some old bitch and I got a couple, like, all I have is these silver dollars, and I put it in the basket and it's sending Stosh to go skiing, I'm like, fuck off.
Hey, man, we raised a lot of money.
That doesn't help God. Well, the only one that raises is Jesus Christ on the third day, my friend. On the third day. That's it. But so I never had trips and things like that. But I was raised that way. I was an altar boy, not throughout, but I was for a little bit. I did when my dad started running church, all our family, we used to bring the gifts up. We used to read. My dad read a lot at the masses and stuff like that. My uncle, two of my uncles are ordained deacons. And a cousin of mine is too. And I was never like around priests much when I did, because I did like altar boy stuff, but I kind of like would blow it off a bunch. They'd give me a schedule, like, oh, I can't make it.
Yeah.
But I did weddings because you got paid.
Nice.
So I would do. You ever did weddings?
No.
Because that's when you do a wedding, the people in the wedding tip you.
Shit.
Yeah. So I would make like I was like 10 years old.
I just
12
did
years
masses.
Old. I was like 12 years old, and I would get like I would let them know I was ready for weddings. And I would do. I didn't do a lot, but I'd get $25, and as like a 10, 12 year old, that was fucking the best.
I don't think a lot of people got married in St. Joseph's Church, to be honest. I think even the parishioners we had there got married at a nicer church.
Nice.
But because like a lot of our people got married at Holy Rosary or St. Michael's. They were just bigger and nicer churches. But here's the thing that made me uncomfortable about St. Joseph's being an altar boy there was a lot of times I'd be an altar boy at Polish masses, and I grew up...
I've been to one of those masses because my dad would be a big thing of you could not make church on Sunday.
Yeah.
You had to try to make a Saturday mass.
Yep.
And the mass we... The church we had, which was down the road, St. Mary's, they... I think yours was at 5 and ours was at 4 or vice versa. It was one way or the other. And I couldn't make one, so he made me go... to the Polish mat, and he'd make us come back with what you call a bulletin to prove we were there.
Yeah.
So we couldn't just
blow
it
off. Grandparents, they did that to me like when I hit driving age, 16 to 18. Like I could go to any mass I wanted, but I had to bring back a bulletin to show them that I went. And that is when I started like ducking in, grabbing a bulletin,
and
leaving.
Yeah, that's what we did.
And then I'd go get like Burger King or something.
They don't understand.
And
they were
out.
Giving us. If they didn't say that, if my dad didn't say that, I would have probably gone to mass. Because I would have thought, because here's the thing. My guilt would have been, my dad knows everyone in the church. He'll ask 10 of them if they saw me.
Yeah.
But all he said was get a bullet. And I'm like, well, that's the, I could say I stood in the back, I grabbed it, and I had to take off early because I was going off to do whatever.
Yeah.
So that part, yeah, so the Polish mass I had sat through before. And that one was weird because I knew all the motions and moves. So it's like when people say you go to a different country, but you can understand things because like you kind of, if you have an idea of the language or whatever, you can watch a movie in Japanese if you understand what the movie's about.
Yeah.
Because you can see it. So same thing with the mass in a way. So you had to do the Polish ones while you were...
Yeah, that was one of the things that made me uncomfortable was like... Because you have certain words that are cues, like you got to ring a bell here, you got to do this there as an altar boy. So, like, I would have to just copy off, like, whoever the other altar boy was there because I didn't know the cues in Polish. I didn't understand the words. It was so many consonants just strung together. And it was rough.
I was never uncomfortable as an altar boy. The only, you know what made me was uncomfortable about it? When I started to see people I knew from school...
Yeah,
that were in
and
the
they
audience.
Watch you wearing a dress,
and they said, "Well, it wasn't about the outfit. It was just there was nothing cool about it." And the second I got close to the age where I could notice a girl, I stopped being an altar boy.
Yeah,
and I know some people that would go up there and they have like facial armor. I'm like, what are you doing? Get out of there! It's the same thing when I know people that are Boy Scouts. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was the same with me. Like at my church, you were an altar boy up to your 16th birthday, and then you transitioned into a speaker.
You were older.
I had a shitty mustache and like long pink hair at one point while I was an altar boy.
I would have thought they would have told you no when you had like crazy hair. They'd be like, get out of here. But like, that's cool. They were open-minded enough.
Yeah. I mean, I put it back in like one of those ponytails with the sides shaved. I guess they
yeah, I wouldn't
like
think
a man,
ponytails
man in... bun now or whatever. But I tried to make it look as presentable as possible, but yeah, they let me do it. I think I had to take my earrings out, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember.
See, what makes me most awkward and uncomfortable about religion is the weird rules that they have that aren't rules. Like, people always say, like, you know, forever, and now it's starting to open up, but the Catholic Church was against gays.
Yeah.
And it's like, who cares? Like, the power that is put on religion... is something that makes me uncomfortable because people say it, things that happen there, like it's a law.
Yeah.
When religion and law combine, I'm scared. I don't like it.
For sure.
Even like with the idea of marriage. Marriage is a religious ceremony. It shouldn't be something that binds people together. It should be a separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't, in a church, it shouldn't be all that. It should be a thing where you go down to the town hall and you say, all you should be doing is signing paperwork. These two people are picking all their assets together and confusing them as one. We're doing this. We're now saying that our taxes go here. Our land goes here. Our belongings go here. Now we are now a business as two people instead of one. That's what a marriage should be in the eyes of the state or the government. But we've combined it from a long time ago and did that, saying it was this thing where now the church can make money off it, saying you need to go get a wedding license to go do this thing. It's like, you're a fucking magic fun church. Like, I shouldn't have to care about what you're doing. Not that you have to get married in a church, but most people think that.
Yeah.
And it's a religious ceremony saying you're married in the eyes of God. Like, well, my dad's been divorced twice and married for a third time. He had to annul. I had to annul my wedding when I got divorced because my ex-wife got remarried. And I had to annul because if you don't know what that is, I had to make, even though my divorce is final, and believe me, if you look up any paperwork, I am divorced. It's legal. There's legal documents. In the eyes of the church, I wasn't.
Yeah.
So we had to, my ex-wife had to pay money.
It's weird that
So God will allow her to get married in a church again.
Yeah.
Think about what I just
said. It's odd that they allowed you guys to get an annulment after you had kids. I thought there was like a clause where if you consummated the marriage, you couldn't get an annulment.
Oh, no. My dad's got six kids.
Yeah, that's true.
The Catholic Church will take your money no matter what.
Yeah,
listen,
good point.
10 years from now, they're going to be saying, the Catholic Church, the Bible, we were wrong. The Bible hates straights because only the gays are going to get married in a church. They'll flip wherever the money is. I always thought it was hilarious that the Catholic Church was against gays. Like, they have better weddings. They want to do it. You should be opening to them. Make your money.
Yeah.
But it was just the old people.
Anyone who's demanding to get married in a church, let them the fuck in.
The problem is because they were told forever that it was wrong.
Yeah.
For guilt, whatever. Because, I mean, I don't think I'm being conspiracy theorist here. Because two dudes and two ladies can't make a kid.
Yeah.
And if you can't make a kid, you can't put more kids into our thing, our cult, to raise them that way so they make more to keep the business going. That's what they're doing. They have you push it onto your family. Baptism. The second your kid's a baby, get it in here. Let's fucking do our voodoo magic on it and make sure it's part of us. It's a ceremony and all that. You put money in, make a big deal, and then let's raise that kid right through there. If they're gay, then they can't make kids, and we can't make more customers.
You think they ever use that logic to try and, like, keep somebody who had a terrible dick accident from getting married? Or...
Yes. I think the number one thing in the church is terrible dick accidents, which is called a circumcision.
Yeah. Like a botched circumcision or just
think
like,
about that. That's part of the religion.
Just
a
like
terrible dick accident. Cut off part of your dick.
A guy who had the world's worst bandsaw accident and they just don't let him get married. I'm like, sorry, dude, you're not going to be able to make any more.
Yeah. Know what they call him? A priest. That's what you do. You just make, you go, God chose you to be celibate. So now do our job and be a God salesman.
Yeah, be a recruiter.
The whole thing about it is makes me uncomfortable because when I talk like this right now,
yeah,
I do believe some of the things I'm saying, but I'm also trying to be funny. And so are you. But we can joke about anything else and it's fine. There are people listening right now that listen to every podcast we've done and now are upset. Because now we're making fun of something that you're not supposed to make fun of. Pat, that's not fun. Stash, you can't say that about that. You can't make God jokes about God. Like, it's so, the power that is put on it is so crazy that people are afraid to make jokes or belittle or say a name in vain. Think about the ruling there.
Yeah.
That sounds like wizard shit. Don't say Voldemort. Don't say God's name. It's a crazy thing. So to me, what makes me uncomfortable is the power that is put on it and the guilt that is used to make people do things or believe in things. What makes me most uncomfortable is how some people use it as their way of making decisions instead of using logic and reasoning. God has a plan. God will get us through this. God will cure them of their fucking polio. No!
Yeah.
No, doctors will, science will. Dude, be smart. When you're yelling that shit out loud, think about how you're not going to save someone. You're not going to make the right decision. Or like, you know, are you going to study for the test? No, God will get me through it. No, study for the fucking test. You dope. It's like, you know, God's not going to win the basketball game for you. It's weird he got thanks.
Yeah, or like people who are like, I need my prayer warriors right now.
Yeah.
I got a flu or whatever. And it's like,
I don't like when people tell me to pray for them. Hey, my grandmother's not doing well. If you could say a prayer for me. I'm like, no, I don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, but I need your prayer. Well, I don't do it. Why would you want a shitty prayer guy? If I need a guy to play third base on my softball team, I'm not going to ask a guy who's never played fucking third base
on
a softball team.
Even if I believed in the power of prayer, I'm saving that magic for my family, dude. You get your family on the fucking job. You don't think my grandma's ever going to have any problems?
Yeah. Well, no, and they would say, well, then when you come to me and I will return the power of prayer favor, well, just do it now. Magic. Just get it going.
Yeah.
I don't like when people put their decisions in a thing that's not there. And that's very uncomfortable because I've had conversations with people that have said that, like, well, you know, it's God's decision. We can't do this because that. It's like, what are you doing? And you can't argue logic with belief sometimes. And that can be scary. I think this podcast will go too far. I think you and I will go too into our beliefs too much. So why don't we get some of the Facebook things? This week, Stosh and I weren't sure what day we were going to record. Usually, we've come up with a topic 1 or 2 days before. I've been thinking about doing this one, but Stosh and I decided a couple hours ago that we were going to record today. So I said to him, what about religion? I put it on Facebook knowing that people would put a lot of answers in. I have not looked at it at all. Stosh has. I'm guessing, I said to him, I'll bet there's a lot of horse shit, a lot of jokes, a lot of kid touch, whatever.
Yeah, a couple people did all right.
We'll address that part a little bit later because I think we can also talk about how that is something that makes people the most uncomfortable at religion is people's weirdness with that. But I would like to hopefully there's a couple people that have some things that we can actually really talk about. So if we can go to our Facebook stuff.
I did want to, before I read the Facebook.
Of course.
That conversation got so heavy. I came in here like with some lighthearted stuff planned. And the one that I really wanted to get out was at Catholic Mass at communion when the priest puts the communion wafer directly on people's tongues.
Well,
like that was always too intimate for me. I was one of those put your hands out people.
Now some of the religions don't allow you to do your hands.
Yeah,
it's wrong to touch it. You're not supposed to touch them. Only blessed hands are supposed to touch the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Now. The loophole was that some people were like, you know, we can't have a. We learn more about germs and stuff. The guy's touching a lot of mouths, a lot of hands, and going back and forth. He's not touching their tongues, but he could by mistake. So therefore, they're saying you can put it in their hands. And the loophole was as long as you bless yourself with the holy water beforehand, then your hands are also sacred and you can touch it. But yeah, I was uncomfortable with that. I was also always uncomfortable. When I stopped believing, I still went to church sometimes because there's certain masses where my family would be like, hey, like my dad was one of those guys where it's like, as a Christmas gift, can you and the kids come to Christmas Eve Mass? And it's something important to him. So yeah. I'll say to my kids, let's go and we'll be silly. We've taken selfies in there and like, uh-oh, three people are going to be going down the hill. Like, you know, we're laughing in church. We're not supposed to do that. But the kids are good with it. We laugh at people. I let them people watch. I don't care if they're not paying attention, whatever.
Yeah.
But we've done all that. But because of that, when it's time to get communion, I don't go up. Now, if you've ever been at a church with a communion, they usually go one pew at a time.
I'm familiar with the dumb dance you have to do when you don't get communion.
So you have to sit there, and there's no room for your legs or knees or whatever like that. So you have to pull back, and people are just like rubbing onto you. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And like, or you get up, get out of the aisle
to
let
the end
all
of the
out.
Row. Yeah.
If you're sitting in a seat at the front or back, but if not, if you're like middle guy Jones, and it's not always people you know. My family's so big that we take up two pews. So I have 5 brothers and sisters, and my dad, and everyone else in the family. That my sister's boyfriend, now fiance. So we go, there's like 10, 12 deep. So we basically take up everything, my nieces and all that stuff. But I've been there at times where there's been 3 of us and we're crammed with other families. And they're like, so there's always some old crippled thing that's like, yard man! Like, you're like, all right, crypt keeper, get the fuck out of the way. And you got to fucking get bumped by her and it sucks. Or what makes you uncomfortable? The peace be with you. Where you got to turn around and shake folks. Some folks want to give you a kiss in the cheek. Some are like, I don't want to touch anybody. I just do a straight. If you're in my circle, I do it. You're right in front. If you turn around to me, I'll do it. But I'm not gonna tap you from behind. If you're on my left or my right, I'm doing it. And I always do one complete turnaround and go peace in the handshake. But they want to hug you, grab you. I don't know. That's a wacky thing.
I used to shake the hands of my grandparents or whoever I was with. and then look at the floor to let everyone know, don't bother. I don't want to touch your hands. I don't know where they've been.
The Leave best thing that happened to me is when I had kids. Because when they were babies, I would just grab it from my wife at the time and say, oh, I'll hold Ashlyn or I'll hold James. And then I would look at people, sorry, I can't. I'm holding. I need two hands to hold this baby right now. Or I'd say, oh, the Ashlyn's getting upset. Ashlyn never cried in church. I'd be like, oh, I got to go in the back. I go stand in the back because she's about to cry. But she never cried. I'm like almost like pinching her. Like, come on, make a noise. I can go in the back and get out of here. But
for real.
All right, good. I'm happy we had a little more fun with it. You're right. It did get a little. That's why I wanted to get off that. I think you and I could do like 2 hours of real, not uncomfortable, whatever. But it's really just a weird thing. But
yeah,
go ahead. What did our Facebook fucking friends say?
All right, Nathan Barnard has a lot of good ones. He did this the way you're supposed to. Wooden pews is the first one.
Yes. First of all, okay. The seating is super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not even only wooden pews, but the wooden pews with the weird kneeler. Nowhere else do you have seats like that where there's a kneeling thing in front of it. A recliner is the opposite. A recliner has something pop out to put your legs up, not to put your knees on. Now, I know that some churches, some hardcore ones, don't even have kneelers. You're supposed to kneel on the ground and feel the pain for the
Yeah, that's. In that same vein, I remember as a kid, because I always like. I would kneel on the thing, but I would also rest my butt on the seat behind
me. That's the lady move, like lady push-ups, they say.
Yeah, I've had people tell me, like, no, take your butt off the seat. This is supposed to be uncomfortable because you're supposed to, like, experience, like, a little bit of Christ's pain or whatever. It's just like, fuck you,
It's dude. Women and the elderly are allowed to rest.
Yeah.
But men are supposed to be upright. And do that. And it's the most uncomfortable fucking thing with the kneelers. The wooden seats, like the way they are, like that.
Plus, I was always like such a fat kid that it's like if I kneeled straight up, I'd be literally pushing myself into the little thing on the back of the pews where they keep the books.
They hold
in.
The dumb books, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, no. Yeah. Just let me do it my way.
Listen, if you want people to go to it, I don't understand. Like, listen, we do comedy. The ideal comedy club has uncomfortable seating. Not to the point where you're in pain.
But enough where you pay attention.
You pay attention, and it keeps you awake.
Yeah.
I believe because church used to be so long. Now it's a 45-minute hour. It used to be you spent your day there.
Yeah.
People were going to fall asleep. You can't fall asleep sitting on hard-ass wood and kneeling all the fucking time. I would always know when it was sit-down time, kneel-down time. Just by the way they would speak, because you learn the patterns and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't wait till after that first. After the gospel, I'm like, thank God. Gospel, I was like, hooray. Do the gospel, because then we're going to get the homily, and I can sit down during the homily for a while. But then we got to start kneeling and moving this and that. But the standing up, I was like, fuck off. And the singing. I said that before. I made jokes about it.
Yeah.
But like, my family was one of those things where my dad would look at us and be like, you're not singing. Like, you know, so you could. I would rather just sit there like and listen to the music.
Yeah, I used to mouth the words along. That was as deep as I was willing to go with it. Because church was a tough place to be like a shy or introverted kid, man. Because people want you to sing out loud. They want you to shake everyone's fucking hand. It's just like, this is not for me.
Nothing makes me more uncomfortable than the guy or the woman who thinks they're a great singer, but they're not at church.
No.
And he will raise you up. On eagle's wings, there you are, the breath of God. Make you shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. Who knew we would do it?
Did we go to the same church, dude?
No, that's
a generic woman, though, who has that voice who thinks she's nailing it. It's so insane.
And she has
insane.
The same voice as Frank Oz in all his characters in the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
But people sing like the Muppets, and they do it, and it's the fucking worst. And then everyone's like clapping, oh, it's great. It's like, it's not fucking great. That's an awful song. That song we just had some shit lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah, our music, the woman in charge of our music, God rest her soul, her name was Miss Martha, and she was a bad singer and a bad piano player. No idea how she got that job, but she wasn't nailing it on any front. And there would be times, like, before Mass started, she would do songs and, like, play piano and sing along to it by herself. And literally, it could be like an Eric Andre sketch.
Right.
It is insane how bad it was.
I appreciate that a lot of churches I went to, even when I moved around, it seemed like when the church found out someone was gay, they now played the organ. They were like, well, all right, we'll get up there and you can just coordinate and it's fine.
If they're going to be here, we might as well use their natural talents.
Oh, it was the best. Like, there was a guy named Jim in the Derby church, and he'd just be like, oh, hello, everyone, and the Lord is with you. And like, oh, he's not a big fan of you, I hear. But yeah, that he's right. That all stuff. What else has he got going on there?
I
see a long book.
We just covered a couple of the things he talked about, but to piggyback off of that, any dancing or movement in worship where I look like a jerk just standing there.
See, I know I would be more comfortable in a black church. I like that kind of music. There's a guy I'm listening to a lot right now named Sam Henshaw. I don't know who Sam Henshaw is. I love his music, but it's not mostly religious, but there's a couple songs like that. There's one called Church. Anything with you give me a gospel choir and I'm a happy motherfucker.
Yeah, gospel choir is great. I would have to sit in back though, because I'd have the same problem as Nathan, where like I would not be comfortable moving around in that environment.
I think we wouldn't be, but to be fair, I think we wouldn't be uncomfortable because we're used to a church that doesn't allow
where it's,
that.
Yeah,
but if we're in a church, because think about it, we're when you think about black gospel churches in like Atlanta, and they're all got the hats and the fanciness, we see it in videos and things where they show they're all good at it.
I would
for
like to have
part,
been raised
all,
in that. Right. That's what I would like.
That's what I'm saying. But for the most part, they're not really all good at it. There's a lot of shitty ones, but
oh,
they're
yeah,
allowed
sure.
to be religious and do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if it was in a thing where I was allowed, I'd have more fun, to be honest with you, I'd have more fun dancing poorly than standing there going, and also with you.
Yeah,
I like
no,
Johnny
that,
Benson. When you listen, we're not doing your bit. That's called church. Anyway. So,
that always used to bother me at church was just how, like, this is supposed to be a spiritual experience, and in Catholic Church, they made everything sound so robotic, and everyone was just going through the motions, and it's like, how could this be the right thing to do? Like, no one here seems moved at all. Everyone is just like, they have the emotion of like a serial killer right now.
I'm sorry, I'm still in awe that we both, but I just want to know, that was not rehearsed. I just chose that song. Stas jumped right in and we both just rocked that fucking song as Muppets. And I gotta find that part. That might be our theme song now for now. But anyway, so
that would be great. I tried to make a theme song, and I couldn't figure out how to get it to work right with my new recording system. So
maybe just us singing in religious words or something like that. Go ahead. So what's the next thing that Nathan had? He had a lot of stuff there. Thank you, Nathan.
Let's see. Going to new churches where they really want to be welcoming, but it just makes you feel like you stand out. The over-welcome.
See, I've never really experienced. I've gone to new church. I never was one to ever get involved in my church. My dad made us involved. So my dad was involved.
Yeah.
But once I got out of that, and I got married. My ex-wife is religious. Her family's also religious.
Yeah.
She'd want to go to churches, but we never got involved in the church.
I've never had that happen to me where I go to a new church and people are trying to make me feel overly welcome. But I have been at family picnics where somebody brings like a black date before, and I imagine it has to be a lot like that.
Yes.
Everyone's stumbling over themselves to make you feel welcome, and it just makes you feel more like an outsider.
Or make you super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We don't like your kind around here. It's like,
oh, yeah, that's the
that's the other religious.
That's another kind. This is pretty bad.
Right. I don't know that one, but yeah, that would definitely make me. Anytime anyone's trying to make me comfortable, makes me uncomfortable. That's it for Nathan. We covered everything else.
Yeah.
Really good.
Isaac Ike Small says, I belong to one that discouraged higher education and or trying to be wealthy. It was a badge of honor to scrape by and praise the deity for the scraps you had.
Wow. I don't know that religion. He's from the South. I know that he is.
It sounds like it could be one of those mega church type situations, like those.
Yeah, but they usually want your money.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they want your money, so
they want all your
suffer.
Money.
Okay.
Yeah. So even if you're making like, you know, decent money, they want so much of it that you're scraping by.
I was always very one of the things I felt very awkward with. I'm always in my whole life. I've never been. My family's never had money. We've always struggled. But it was a big that we always had to put money in the basket. And when churches would do more than one collection, sometimes my mom couldn't afford to do, I mean, it was just a dollar. We couldn't afford to do a dollar twice. And the other thing is, I don't know, a lot of families do this. I think most families do. When you have kids, you give the kids the money to put in so they have something to do when they pass the basket around. And so with three kids, My mom like felt like, you know, and we lived in a town like in Cheshire where people had money. So they kind of would look at us weird if we put a quarter in. Like when I lived in Derby with my dad, you could put a quarter in each kid and everyone's like, oh, it's fine, just money. But they're like, oh, you're not putting a five in or ten, or like, or you're not putting in one of those, you know how they have those things that they're worth money that you get the books that you put the amount on. Almost like a check for church, but it's like a donation
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My dad would still get those sent in the mail here and I just don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, my grandparents still have either my aunt or uncle drive down to church every week and drop off one of those envelopes with money in it.
Right, and my dad always had those things there. If my dad if we were going to go to Mass and he wasn't going to go with us, he was going to go another day,
yeah,
he would give us one of those to put in to make sure, and on top of what we had to put in. But I always felt very uncomfortable because if you didn't put the money in, if you pass, which you should be, what you are allowed to do,
yeah,
they'll look at you. They kind of like linger in front of you, and people look at you like you're doing something wrong. It's like, if you are just going there simply to worship and believe, I shouldn't have to pay a cover.
Yeah. You know what?
And you shouldn't charge that late.
I believe that too.
Charge early or don't charge at all.
And as much as I was not religious at the time, I did feel super cool when I first got my own, when I was old enough where I got my own envelopes with my name on them.
Oh.
I was like, oh, hell yeah, yeah, moving up in the world. Even though I didn't believe in the religion anymore and hated going to church, it just made me feel like an adult.
Yeah. It's like when you get checks for the first time, like your own bank account. You got your own
yeah.
bank account with God.
Mm-hmm.
You got there. Yeah, so I get that. What else?
Max Dolcelli had to make sure he got a joke in. He said, religion is like penises. I don't like them shoved down my throat. Can we, can
like
we boo
Max.
The comments on
no.
here?
Do you know Max?
Yeah, no, he's a good guy.
Max is like an old-time great comic and a guy who does cruise ships and stuff like that. Listen, I appreciate that Max every week puts something on there. And I like
he always makes sure to get a joke in on the comments.
And I appreciate
yeah.
that. It's better than someone just going, oh, fucking, I hate when people fuck. But I saw one thing. I don't even care who it was, but if you tell me, I'll yell at him even more later. But I know someone just wrote the word anal. I'd rather what Max wrote than a joke. A fun joke by a comedian writing a joke
yeah,
rather
than
write just anal.
The one who just wrote anal.
Oh, Rich Butters. I know Rich Butters.
His name is Rich Butters,
yeah.
And his profile picture is a stick of butter with his
by
face
the way,
on
Rich
it.
Butters used to do comedy. I don't do comedy anymore. That's his real name.
Yeah.
And when I first started, we did some shows together, and we were Butters and Potatoes. It was a weird thing. Potato and butter.
Oof.
Very weird thing, yes. We didn't do it together.
I like PB&Js better.
But we weren't together as a team. We'd just be on shows and people would say that out
loud. Oh, okay.
We weren't a team. But he's a nice enough man, but yeah, fuck you, Rich. Anyway, go ahead.
Jason Doyle says the people who practice it.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Like I said again, at the end of the day, don't act like you're a knife salesman. You don't need to come to my door and tell me about your thing. If I want to, at this day and age, if I want to believe in something, I'll figure it out. I can Google it way better than you can explain it to me. I don't need that in my face. Don't push your beliefs on me. It may work the same way I am with the way I lost weight and the way you lost weight. If someone wants to talk to me about it, I'll tell them what I did, but I'll never tell them to do what I did. Go figure it out on your own. See what works for you. Religion is the same way.
Yeah.
It's not going to work the same for everybody.
James Norrie says that some omnipresent and omnipotent being is watching me while I do naughty things, which I got to tell you, as a kid,
frightening,
fucked me up so bad. Like there was a point where like when I would take a bath as a kid, I would always put a washcloth over my dick because they would always tell you like God is watching, God is watching. And it was like I couldn't do regular bathroom chores without feeling intense shame and embarrassment.
When I was a little kid, my grandfather had this big fucking framed photo, like painting of Jesus.
Yeah.
Of his whole head and his fucking eyes. And you did feel like those eyes were moving.
Yeah.
Like, and it was right on a wall. And at night when we come, if I woke up, I would walk down the stairs and it was an older house on the beach. You could hear the wind and you could hear all, when there was rain. It was frightening enough. But if you wanted to walk down the stairs late at night and go get a drink of water or something, the one thing lit up was Jesus.
Yes.
And you would see that, even though there's no lights on it, it was just some reason the picture would light up, and it would scare the fuck. And I literally, as a kid, would run by the picture, like afraid. And
yeah.
So I'd walk and I'd see it and run, afraid that he was going to see me. And then when I got older and my grandfather passed away, my dad took that picture and put it in the basement of our fucking house where the laundry was.
Yeah.
So I had to go down there and do laundry. It'd just be Jesus there. And I would literally, I would be worried. I'd run down there, run by it, and be afraid to be down there because he was staring at me. I mean, it would I know he's making a joke about jerking off with the Lord watching you, but the literal picture scared me more.
Yeah,
statue
I had
a, scared me more, all that stuff.
I had an almost identical situation to you at my house. As soon as you walk in the front door, there was the stairs that go upstairs right in front of you. And at the top of the stairs, there was a picture of Jesus where the hall light that was always dimmed at nighttime shone directly on the Jesus. And like when I got a little bit older where I'd be coming home late and everyone was asleep and the only light in the house was that light and I had to go walk up and go past it all the time, it creeped me the fuck out big time.
Yeah. Jesus is scary as fuck. He's scary as fuck because like you're told that he's like, you know, he was this like, to me, he's a ghost. As a kid, someone told me he died and he came back. And now he's, so why can't he fucking come out of a picture? You know what I mean? I had a lot of crazy thoughts in my head. I mean, that freaks me out. Yeah, so yeah. When you say, listen, when he has the same powers as Santa, but he doesn't give me gifts, it freaks me the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
So, he knows everything. All right, what else we got?
The worst fucking Santa. Mike McDonald says, guys who fuck little boys telling me not to fuck. I knew there was going to be a bunch of that in the comments.
No. But read, because I like Mike McDonald. Mike McDonald's a tremendous, I mean, one of the, he's like a Boston legend.
Yeah.
Read that again, because I think what he did, I kind of like.
Guys who fuck little boys telling me not to fuck.
See, him saying about, you know, what makes me comfortable is like kids getting fucked, whatever. I like what he said there because that does make me uncomfortable. The hypocrisy of religion. At the end of it, listen, he's from Boston. There is so much.
He was at ground zero for the kid fucking.
Right. And what's his name? Barry Crimmins.
R.I.P.
Boston legend, R.I.P. But like also had was close friends with all of them.
Killed by Rob Mayhew.
No. And they all had that, and Barry Crimmins had that whole thing that, you know, that horrible shit that happened to him, whatever. And now, and that's throughout all that stuff there.
Yeah.
Spotlight happened in Boston, all that kind of thing.
Yep.
So I like what he's saying there because even though he's making a joke, the hypocrisy of church. Don't do this. Do you know, because you know, because that's wrong against the God. But then they're doing things that are wrong against God. You know, don't take advantage of your neighbor or your people in life. But they're taking advantage of you by telling you that if you don't give money to the church, if you don't do these right things, you know what I mean? Like they're playing on things. The religion plays on your fear. It plays on the thing that you think you have to do the right things in the eyes of this certain person. Or being,
I was just
or you don't get
them
passed in. So, like, to say the second, I don't even, that's the only business in the world, by the way, that if one employee at a place, if Lego right now, you found out the guy, one of the managers of Lego was fucking kids, Lego would be shut down.
I just think any guy's telling me not to fuck is also the worst.
Anyone telling anyone anything about fucking. I've gone on this rant in a million ways. I never understand, besides the fact that we're all obsessed with sex, that's where people's minds go because it's an urge. I understand that. But in the fact that a religion is like, well, an urge is bad. To not have to fight the urge is good for religion. It's because you don't want them to focus on sex because sex is a good time. When you have sex, you don't want to go. When you're a teenager, you don't want to go to church anymore because you want to go fuck. You know what I mean? So it's like, so if you're focused on sex and getting women or men or whatever you want to get,
but
you don't
like,
want to be there.
It's another way to sell marriages like you were talking before. If you tell them they're not allowed to have sex till they're married, they're going to want to get married, and they're going to want to get married fast.
Right.
So they're just peddling more marriages again.
Yeah, but anyone telling anyone about their sex in any way is weird.
Yeah.
Just to talk about, like, don't only fuck these kind of people. Don't fuck it all. Oh, it should only be used to make more. Like, ew. Don't look at me like a breeder. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like what he said there. People that fuck boys telling me I can't fuck. Get out of here. Get out of here with your boy fuck. Thank you, Michael.
Sam Sylvia with the incredibly vague all the lies.
Yeah, but I mean, I get it. I mean, there's like, there's so many interpretations. It depends what religion he's talking about, but if you're going to talk about Catholic, I think most people are talking about Catholicism. There are so many things that have been like misinterpreted because you don't know. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's called the good book because it's a book that was good. Okay? It's not the best book. If you try to read it front to back, it's a weird-ass story. Okay? To me, if someone found Superman Episode 1 instead of the Bible, it's basically the same thing. You know, Jesus is Superman, and it's someone here to save all of us and all that. Someone found this book that was written really well, but then people bought into it so fucking hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of course there's going to be lies in it. It's supposed to be entertaining. I love when we're believing in a book that's supposed to have all these, you know, things about, like, this is the way the world's supposed to be. Some people take it literally. Like, there was a dude who lived in a whale for a while. Right there.
Yeah, he sure did.
There's a guy that was on a boat that got every animal in the world without a car or a fucking plane. He just got all the animals in the world to get on his boat. That's fine. We did it. And I'm supposed to believe everything the Bible says? It's a fucking fun fantasy world. Yeah, the lies. Thank you, sir.
Kippy Rosso says, getting nailed to a cross.
That makes wait.
So I think he's doing it wrong. You're not the one who's supposed to get nailed to the cross.
Yeah. Wait. So wait, getting nailed to the cross made him uncomfortable. You know what makes me uncomfortable? The cross itself inside a church. That's another thing with the Jesus thing. Anything with Jesus on it makes me uncomfortable. It really does.
Yeah, that's
in a
like,
church. Him. Think about that. If
it's
you
like
went,
when somebody tags you in an unflattering Facebook pic. It's like, why'd you use him on his worst day? Why not a picture of him when he was smiling?
Not even that. If you really think about it, would you go into any other building and be okay and hang out there if there was a statue of someone being murdered? Think about that. There's no other place you would go besides a haunted house.
Yeah.
Where
I love
you would
houses,
you
though.
Go somewhere where you're like, oh, what's that thing on the wall? Oh, it's okay. That's just a guy who was murdered. But don't worry, he makes a comeback. Well, where's the comeback photo?
Not even a guy who was murdered. It's a guy being murdered.
Being murdered. Hung there. Thorns. Oh, what's his crown made of? Thorns for his fucking head.
Yeah.
And I understand it's a story, but that I understand the suffering. I understand people that are going to get mad. People that are religious are getting mad. Once again, I understand that. But we're talking about uncomfortability. That's uncomfortable. Well, you think you're uncomfortable. What about Jesus? He got everyone that gets murdered is uncomfortable. I don't watch them all. You know what I mean?
Once saw a video on Live Leak where a guy got beaten to death with like a kid's toy lawnmower, one of those Fisher-Price lawnmowers.
Yeah.
That guy was uncomfortable as fuck.
Right. Now, let's say every time you went to Toys R Us, on the wall was a fucking giant fucking statue of that guy getting beaten with a toy lawnmower.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it.
You wouldn't go to the Toys R Us.
I would be uncomfortable.
Yes, Toys R Us is shut down. But you know what I mean? KB Toys. Is there any toy stores left? KB Toys. I don't know. There's nothing left.
The toy section at Walmart.
That's
whatever.
It. And where you're going. What else we got there, fucking guy hanging by a cross? Shut the fuck up.
Steve Degnan, I like this one because this always made me feel uncomfortable. Adam and Eve had to sleep with their children to populate the earth.
Yeah. That whole thing is anything where you're trying. I understand this is for dummies a long time ago.
Yeah.
People are like, well, how'd the world start? Well, it started with two people.
Yeah.
As
and they
dummies,
only had sons, which meant for those sons to have kids, they had to fuck their mom.
As naive people go, back then, you didn't have time to think. You were just worried about not dying.
Yeah.
Everyone you know is dying. You're trying to fucking make sure you get food, all that stuff. So when there were a couple thinkers, there weren't many thinkers back then, but a couple thinkers would be like, whoa, 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 how do we start? And someone's like, well, you know, God made two people. And they did. And they're like, okay, because that's all you need to know. They're like, well, we make people all the time. You know what I mean? And they all knew each other. Even if they weren't related, everyone, like, you just knew your little group.
Mm-hmm.
So you all fucked your group. So it kind of made sense then. But yeah, if you think about it now, that's fucking weird. It's real uncomfortable. Incest, which means, and think about it now when they do stories now about like, you know, like the graphic novel, The Preacher makes jokes about that, like the lineage and how it would be like, you know, if there was a bloodline still to Jesus Christ, it would be like some almost borderline mentally retarded person because they just kept keeping it in the bloodline. You know, if something was there now, it would just be a ton of incest. So much incest. Incest is the best. Put your Jesus to the test. That would be the old song. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Incest is the best. Put your Jesus to the test. Johnny Benson wasn't doing that. It'd be my whole act now.
Yeah.
No Johnny Benson this week? Comments?
No. Johnny Benson, man. He took the week off.
On Mondays, he's off, so I don't know. But anyway, go ahead.
Andrew O'Boy Carlstrom says, people who substitute religion for science or medicine, prayer crystals, and essential oils aren't going to get grandma better. Take her to the fucking doctor.
Now, that makes him uncomfortable. I mean, once again, you could say that's stupid. Now, it would make me uncomfortable if someone said, if I knew someone that was sick and I said they need to go to a doctor and they said, well, no, religion will work. You know what I mean? Then I'd be uncomfortable. That doesn't really make me uncomfortable. It just makes me know that there's some people out there that are stupid.
Yeah.
Anything else? We're well over an hour now, so.
Everything. We're in repeats anyway here, so I'm just like furiously scrolling to try and find new stuff.
What? Anything else you want to add to this religious episode of uncomfortableness?
I think it's a crying shame that Jews aren't allowed to combine meat and dairy.
They can't?
No. It's the mother's meat with the mother's milk or something like that.
They can't have egg and cheese sandwich?
No. That's why lox and cream cheese became a thing, because it's fish and dairy they can combine.
I've seen Jews eat a lot of bacon, egg, and cheese, though. They don't.
Oh, yeah. They're not allowed to eat bacon, period. But, right. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if you want to go by the technicalities of the religion, they're not supposed to do that.
When you're saying that, the one last thing I want to talk about, and this was a big thing when I was a kid, and it's still for my sisters a big thing because my sisters are religious, so. Lent. Lent was always uncomfortable to me because my family, and a lot of comics make jokes about it, and I'm not going to make the jokes about how, like, how is that a sacrifice? Like, Greg Giraldo has a great one about, like, you know, Jesus, you know, he died, so isn't that great that we should let Fred into heaven because he didn't eat chocolate for 40 days? What a sacrifice. But it's not about that. It's the fact that the scoldings, I remember, like, when the Lent will fall in different times, and when St. Patrick's Day once in a while will fall into the Lenten season, that the Pope has to come out and go, you know, if it's on a Friday, it's okay to eat corned beef today, you know, and like, so people are like, oh, and now I can eat it because the Pope said it.
Yeah.
That just tells you it's horse shit. Like, to tell people that, you know, I get it, you do sacrifice and things like that, but that was just a weird thing, like, and a business is wrapped around, think about how McDonald's would, when they do the 2-for-5 Filet-O-Fish, it's during Lent.
Mm-hmm.
They do it on. They know it because people can't eat meat. So, like, oh, get some Filet-O-Fish on Friday. Like, the fact that it becomes like a business type thing, telling me I have to give something up or can't eat something on a certain day because someone died. Once again, the guilt is what makes me uncomfortable. But what always made me uncomfortable about Lent, especially on Fridays, if I went somewhere that wasn't my house,
yes,
because my dad and my mom would both be very hard on, you know, you need, you know, whatever they're eating for dinner, you have to make sure you don't eat meat.
Yep.
And it's like you go to someone's house and they're having spaghetti and meatballs. And you have to go like, well, is there any meat in the sauce? I can't have the meatball. And after a while, I would just eat it. And then I remember when I started, my kids got older and I would let them, like, we'd go out to eat. And my mom would be like, oh, I guess I'll have a grilled cheese. And then, like, you know, my ex-wife at the time is like, oh, I'll have the fish. And then my son's like, well, I want a cheeseburger. I'm like, yeah, me too. And they're like, wait, you can't. I'm like, yeah, we can. And we're going to. This is ridiculous. We're at a diner. We're going to eat cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
God, we're together as a family. Isn't that what God really wants? Together as a family? And then they're like, no, you can't. So now, like, I explained to my son, you can't eat because of God. Why is God not wanting me to eat cheeseburgers? I'm like, I don't know. Because he got killed.
Long time ago, people used to be fishermen and they had to increase business during this time of year.
Yeah. And fishermen were the big thing. But, like, here he is. My son's now crying and upset, and then people their tables are getting upset, and they're like, you quiet your kid down. I'm like, no, because Jesus wouldn't want it that way. And now I'm yelling at them, and I'm ready to fight people in the name of God. Fuck that. Just let people eat.
Yeah, I used to eat at friends' houses on Fridays, on Good Friday, for the specific reason so I wouldn't have to fucking not eat meat.
I liked it, at least my Nana, my mom's mom, she would bring us to Friendly's, and I can get a fish and majig, and those were good.
Hell yeah.
That was like way better than the Filet-O-Fish or that stupid the Whaler that Burger King had for a while. That was their shitty fish sandwich.
Yeah, they had the BK Big Fish, the Whaler.
Big Fish came later when they named it BK.
Yeah.
It was the Whaler first.
They've had a lot of incarnations of fish sandwiches there. None of them were ever good. Dutch's, on the other hand, world-class fish sandwich back in the day.
Yes.
I don't know if it's
I also
good.
Like that you did, in a religious episode, use the incarnation of the fish sandwich, which may be the name of the episode. But anything else you want to add?
StashMikita.com. Please look at my comedy dates and then go to them.
There you go. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, on our fan page. Make sure you're following. We're doing more on the other on our pages. I want to start doing all the questions on those things first and not on my own. But if you're not friends with me on Facebook, do that for now. And that's where we ask our questions. If you have a suggestion, a thing you want us to talk about, if you're a comedian or someone who not a comedian who wants to come on and talk about one of these things that make you uncomfortable, let us know. Maybe we'll have you on. Go to padouts.com for all your Padouts needs. And thank you for staying at the Discomfort Inn.